WATV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. This is a WATB disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you. Hello, Bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Welcome, my friends, to the Texas Power Hour with Pastor Carolyn Sism and friends. This radio show is an outreach ministry of Eastgate Ministries in Katy, Texas. Experience the power. Experience the glory with Pastor Carolyn Sism.
And he had to borrow an airplane. So, it could take a lot of money to wage war. Okay. The Melchizedek priesthood, number two. I don't know what this just goes on and on and on, but we'll stay on until the Lord releases me. One of the many confirmations which came forth at the conference, the true law of freedom, is what Pastor Kate said it, and I had already said it to y'all, as well as I reaffirmed it there, is the Lord is releasing upon the earth a new administration of his priesthood. We don't know what that looks like. So, like I always do, if I don't know what it looks like, I begin to study the Word and begin to release the Word concerning God's priesthood. There was a prophecy that came forth. I forget who it was, but anyway, I really got a witness on it. That because of the Pope, there's going to be a major shakeup in the Catholic Church. And it's going to be a scandal come forth. I know there was 35 priests that have just been found out about who were in sexual misconduct. But they seem to think this was a bigger scandal than that. So I don't know what to say of that. But since we're talking about the priesthood, that would be something that we would probably need to be praying about. So it's not without consequence that we're led to do a study on the Melchizedek priesthood, and there is. Whenever God leads us to do a study, he's taken us somewhere. This is from the New American Standard Bible, Ephesians 1:10. With a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times. That is the summing up of all things in Christ. And of course, Paul is talking about the administration of the Spirit and the administration of the kingdom of God. But we also see it in the natural and in the government, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times. We are coming into the fullness of times. So as we're seeing scripture be unsealed, nations be unsealed, things are being unsealed before our eyes, this is a fullness of time. Now I'm going to read Ephesians 1:10 from Weymouth translation. For the government of the world, when the times are right for it, the purpose which he has cherished in his own mind of restoring the whole creation to find its one head in Christ. So as we all come into agreement with that, the church can flow with what the Spirit is doing and watch him as he's bringing the governments of the nations, and he's overthrowing heads of states, and he's overthrowing kingdoms. And we're watching it happen before our eyes. A spiritual administration is being born of God even now to participate in the gathering together of church, which the criterion for membership is not found in outward appearance. In this conference, there was a lot of preaching about the inward man and the outward man. But this will be found in the state of the heart. Jesus gathered administrators, the 12 apostles, at his coming as the Lamb of God to administrate the Feast of Pentecost. And we have been in the administration of the Feast of Pentecost since the day of Pentecost. People say we need another Pentecost. Like I tell you, I'll take it. But the church has been in the administration of the Feast of Pentecost since the day of Pentecost. And he is, even so, he's thoroughly equipping a new administration for the Feast of Tabernacles, which we haven't come into that yet. I keep preaching it, hoping it, praying it's coming. It's the glory of God. It's bringing the church into that awesome overcoming church. And this administration is being created with a view to the gathering in to all things in Christ. That he raised up a deliverer to bring forth the nations, and to deliver this nation, which we had to have a deliverer, a person that he would use to deliver the nation, because our government had become so corrupt. Our government leaders had become so corrupt. The FBI is corrupt. The Justice Department was corrupt. The State Department was corrupt. He had to, and only God could give him the strength to do that.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Time and the conditions characterizing time will never change this view of God and this plan of God. The priestly family, after the order of Melchizedek, understands this view. That's what we're into. That's what we're after. God's plan for mankind, for his church, from the beginning of Genesis to the book of Revelation through eternity. They, like the noble men of Issachar in 1 Chronicles 12:32, have divine understanding of the times and know what the church is out to do. Well, we get a little glimpse of it here and there. We get glimpses and we stay, and that's what I try to do. I try to stay in that vein of what God, what the Spirit of God is showing that he's doing in this hour and time. I don't have anything else to do. If I'm not following the leading of the Holy Spirit, what is there to do? I can do good works, I guess. All history is now ready to be fulfilled in Christ. And history will be summed up in one head who brings forth one bread. All nations of mankind will form the ingredients of this bread. We're a prophetic church. Sometimes I feel stretched when we have all these nations come in and we got to hear what they're saying and what they're carrying. Why do we have all these nations coming in here? We're a prophetic church. All of history is being fulfilled in the nations. All nations will of mankind will come together. The Christian church in North Korea. There's one in there praying, I can assure you.
Yes.
The wholeness of one is the strength of all. Matthew 12:25. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. That which stands divided will stand united in the fullness of time. Mm-hmm. Okay, we came to a fullness of time last night. North Korea and South Korea are divided.
Mm-hmm.
But in the fullness of God's time, they shall stand united. Just as North Korea has been a rogue nation and has been separate from the community of nations, God will bring them into and stand united together with mankind in the fullness of time. I'm going to say that again. That which stands divided will stand united together in the fullness of time. Okay, so did I accidentally write this today? I guess so, I don't know. So then what is this bread that Melchizedek ministered to Abram? Melchizedek ministered to Abram the bread and the wine. So what is this bread? Is it not the life of all nations of men who were to come out of him? The life is in the bread. The father of nations. This bread was more than mere barley cakes or wheat loaves. It was more than a common courtesy extended for a selfish gain of a tired warrior. When I came out of that conference last week, I was a tired warrior. I forgot to bring the bread and the wine today. I was going to do it, but anyway, I forgot it. Probably not what I need right now is to take communion. The giving and the partaking of this bread was a significant event for all ages of mankind. The bread and the wine ministered to Abram. Sarah's sitting on the edge of her seat here. She didn't read these notes. Oh, you did? Okay. She usually does. The bread and the wine ministered to Abram by Melchizedek are the elements of the communion of Christ's life in the New Testament. The meal rejuvenates us for life. The course of history was altered shortly after this event in Abram's life. Melchizedek ministered as a priest to Abram just prior to Abram's encounter with the king of Sodom. History was changed last night. God is giving us signs of what he's doing. When Melchizedek brought forth wine, it typified for the believer two vital understandings concerning the new covenant. The blood of the covenant and the joy of covenantal life. I would like to give priority to the blood because of its power to release the believer from sin. Joy is a result of righteousness, which is based on the justification which comes from faith in Christ's blood. Romans 3:25. If you are at peace with God, then you're going to be at peace with what is around you. You're going to be at peace with your life if you are at peace with God. If your shame and your sins have been settled with the righteousness of Christ, then you're going to have joy. That's the joy unspeakable and full of glory. Once you're settled, that Jesus loves you, that you're the beloved of the Lord, that He joys in you, and He chose you, and He delights in you, and you have received His righteousness, not your own, that's when you come into this joy. From the first day that we recognized our forgiveness from sin, the blood has never lost its power. The joy we experience is because Christ's blood is the precious blood of the everlasting covenant. Because the blood was sanctified unto us, because the blood was sanctified unto God, we have that joy unspeakable and full of glory. It still has the power. It has not lost its power. And we should be excited about that reality, and we should rejoice, and that should, every time we take communion, it's not just a tradition of the church.
Amen.
Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me.
Yes. Amen.
It carries power. Mm-hmm. Instead of all the Old Testament feasts, we have one feast, and it is the communion. The life of the flesh is still in the blood. The great value of life as a gift from God prohibited the eating of flesh with blood in it. I still won't eat flesh with blood in it. I still won't eat blood. Like when I went to Louisiana, they had this thing called blood sausage. Mm-hmm. I knew that scripture. I wasn't about to eat blood sausage. Mm-mm. I don't want to see blood in my meat. Mm-mm. Bible says we're not to eat flesh with blood in it. The law of spirit of life in Christ overcame the law of the spirit of sin and death in the Old Testament. And as I said Sunday morning, this is what we hammered in that conference. Shanna's having her test today. I'm going to ask y'all to continue to pray, because that's where Satan tried to hit me there. Mm-hmm. But the spirit of sin and death is the Old Testament. It's under the covenant of the Old Testament. It is not under the testament of the blood of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Matthew 16:28. For this is my blood of the new testament, mm-hmm. which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So the law of the spirit and life in Christ is in the blood of the new testament, and that blood has overcome the law of sin and death. It has been defeated,
yes,
through the power of the blood.
That's right.
The more excellent sacrifice was fulfilled when Christ offered himself without spot to God through the eternal spirit. He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He now appears in heaven itself in the presence of God for us. Church, let us not get down. Don't let the devil beat you down. We know that in the last day, his plan is to wear out the saints. Saturday, I thought I was worn out, but we rose again.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I have to do. Mm-hmm. I think I've told you that my personality is just kind of like this all the time until I get really tired. And when I get really tired, you don't want to be around me. Because I'm grumpy. And someone wanted me to pray for him Sunday night. I said, you don't want me to pray for you right now? Mm-hmm. I said, no, not when I'm this tired. Wait till I get filled again. Mm-hmm. I need to get, and then if I'm that tired, then I'm open up to whatever spirits are in them are gonna come in me.
Nice.
So on Sunday night, we started the veil. And it's about this man, what's his name, Blake something?
Healy.
He has been seeing demonic spirits since he was a child, and not his gift of seeing in the spirit. And so we've got through chapter one or two of it, but it's really good.
Demons
and angels, yeah. And he describes them like I would be describing Diana sitting over there with the blue top on and she has a necklace on and she just came in the door. That's the way he describes these angels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he's seen it since he was 2 years old. this. The Levitical system was simply a pattern of things in the heavenlies where Christ has entered. By the blood we can with boldness enter into the holiest by a new and living way which Christ has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Pastor Kay brought out a point during that conference that when Israel went through the Red Sea out to the Promised Land, they went through the veil. I'm talking about the veil of into the promise. But he said Pharaoh got trapped in the Red Sea because he could not go through the veil. Jesus Christ is beyond the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. When Melchizedek brought forth wine, he brought to Abram the type of a new kind of blood, one that was precious or rare. And we are redeemed from our vain lifestyles by this precious blood. And so when I wrote that, I said, oh God, forgive me for any vanity in my lifestyle. We dressed up at that conference. We had on our fancy Nigerian dresses. And I love to dress up. You know, I like to play dress up. So I put on my sparkly heels and my sparkly dress and preached in it.
Jewelry?
And I told Sandra this morning, I said, today I just put on something loose. And even since I said, I just got tired of that dressing up. That dressing up every day, it almost fancy, just wore me out. But it was fun while we were doing it. Just nothing, I'm girly enough. I like this sparkle stuff, don't you, Jenny? Get all dressed up. I would like it when Don would take me somewhere where I could get all dressed up, but he didn't like to do all that. The blood of Christ is the only acceptable blood beyond the heavenly veil. All earthly blood is contaminated by the sin of Adam's high treason. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Pat said a word of wisdom that I hadn't quite, you know how many times I preached on the kingdom of God. But she talked about someone when she was at my house, and she said, they preach the kingdom of God, so they have automatic prosperity. And I kind of gave her this quizzical look, and she said, well, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. She says, that's the blessing of prosperity. All these things shall be added unto you. That's the blessing of prosperity. So I haven't quite said it like that before, but just wanted y'all to be sure and know that when you hear me preaching the kingdom, there's an automatic blessing of prosperity that goes with it. The bread and wine, flesh and blood, brought forth by Melchizedek to Abram, bespeaks the indissoluble life of Christ. For this is his flesh, which is meat indeed, and his blood, which is strength indeed. John 6:5. This is a powerful and indestructible life. Its energy goes beyond the reach of death. The power of this life flows from a life that cannot end. It fulfills that quality of spiritual, moral, and physical excellence that expresses the Father's divine standard of virtue. This is our portion. This is our inheritance. That as long as we are living in this earth suit, that you and I should walk in this heavenly and divine virtue of life. This life is not limited by time or space. And see, that was easy to write because we've been reading on Sunday night about the veil. And I mean, time or space didn't have anything to do with him being able to see in the Spirit. And it's there for all of us. And the fullness of time. I believe we're coming into a fullness of time. Jerusalem, unsealed. North Korea, unsealed.
Yay.
Damascus,
coming into Isaiah 17. I could just keep going on and on and on, that things that are prophesied in the Bible are happening now. So we're coming into a fullness of time. So if we're coming into a fullness of time, then God is going to bring His church up as an overcoming church, and it's going to be done through the power of His blood. Amen. Just like Abram, I mean Melchizedek, which the visitation of Jesus Christ, and that Melchizedek strengthened Abram to go. He had come out of battle with the kings, and he was going into battle with the king of Sodom. What do we do? We're coming out of one battle, we're going into another battle all the time. So he strengthened him with the bread and the wine before he went into the next battle.
Yes, Lord.
God is going to strengthen His church because we've come into a fullness of time.
Yes.
A fullness of time. What's the devil going to try to do? He's going to try to wear you out. But the Lord says, Carolyn, preach on the Melchizedek priesthood. I want to visit my people with the bread and the wine, and I want to strengthen them for the battles that they have come out of or what they're going into.
Yes.
Glory.
Amen.
I mean, I didn't hear that exactly like that. I don't want to, but that's my interpretation of what I'm doing. That's my interpretation, okay? I didn't want to be cut on that. I didn't hear that exactly like that.
But I see it too.
Huh?
I see it too.
Yes.
Very clear.
In the fullness of time, the Lord will raise up sons who will be in the image of Christ and have the description of the Melchizedek order. Those who live not by carnal commandment, but by the power of endless life. One of the messages that I brought forth in that conference is how God delivered me from my carnal soul. That my soul could walk in the redemption of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. He wants to redeem our soul from the carnal commandments and from the carnal law and from the carnality of our soul, that our soul can be redeemed due to the Spirit of life. In order to receive this heavenly life, we must submit to this great King Priest ministry, which reveals our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Abram, who was later called Abraham, no longer lives, but his seed does. Remembrance of that seed which must receive God's high priestly order. Melchizedek. Jesus is the first priest after the order of Melchizedek. I personally believe, and I said so earlier, that Melchizedek is a divine visitation of the Son of God Himself. There is no one else could fit that description. Now, I've read all these doctrines. If you believe them, that's okay, we won't argue. But this appearing of Christ before He was manifested on the earth is known as a Christophany. In the same way Melchizedek strengthened Abram for faith, Christ is preparing all the sons of faith for something beyond our present experiences. Something beyond our present experiences. And those of us in this room, Joanne came in through Pentecost Church, but I came in through Charismatic, and some of you did as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we have had incredible visitations and experiences of God, manifestations of miracles and signs and wonders along the way.
Yes.
But all of this preparation is something beyond what we have experienced before. And God is preparing our minds to receive this. How can we look upon the fullness of time that is happening in the nations of the earth and not know that the church is also coming into a fullness of time? And that fullness of time will be that glorious and overcoming church. just as he sent forth a deliverer to deliver these nations, he's going to send forth a deliverer in the church and deliver the apostate church and deliver the church that is neither hot nor cold, deliver the church that is any old kind of sin will do you, or any old kind of God will do you, and they don't even know what sin is. And it won't be anything's okay.
Mm-hmm.
He is eternal, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abiding a priest continually. Now that tells me who Melchizedek was, okay? I don't even know how they get off on all that stuff. This bears witness to the truth. This great king priest lives, and that he continues as a priest. He is spoken of as our Lord, who sprang forth out of Judah. Hebrews 7:14. Abraham was God's man in the earth at the time that he lived. God will always have his man or men or people on the earth that he's moving through. Who could be greater than Abraham? No man on earth. If Abraham is God's man on earth, then there is no king on earth that's greater than Abraham. In strong concordance, there are two words that create the name Melchizedek. The first word part is Melech, which means king or royal. The second word is Tzedek, which means right, natural, morally, or legally, equity, prosperity, righteousness, and justice. And this is why the writer to the Hebrews interprets his name as being the King of Righteousness. God says, Carolyn, this he did say exactly this way. I want you to preach on holiness and righteousness. If he wants me to preach on holiness and righteousness, which I've been doing since the first of the year, in here, that he is bringing us to the place of fellowshipping with the King of Righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. This name contains the foundation for the in Christ understanding. Was it last week I preached about Romans 16? There has been so much happening in a week. Was it last week we did Romans 16? It feels like a month ago to me.
It was before?
Yes.
The week before? Last week we did Melchizedek.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that helps, Sandra. It kind of acclimates me to center here. But where I preached about being in Christ, the difference of Christ in us, the hope of glory, and being in Christ. And this realm includes both male and female. That's why it's gender neutral. The place in Christ isn't about a female can do this or a male can do this. All these people that are hung up that women pastors can't pastor, they're stuck in that second realm. They haven't come into the third heaven of being in Christ. They haven't come into that. It's okay. I'm not mad at you. It includes all men, every race, kindred, and tongue. It's a priesthood that reigns and rules over creation in righteousness, peace, and joy. This priesthood forms the administrative body that reigns with King Jesus in the new heavens and the new earth. In the new heavens and the new earth. Because of Christ, the head of the order, this priesthood abides continually. There's no need to ever again change the priesthood, as often occurred under the Levitical system. The order is built upon a high priest and a priestly family who's holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens.
The life of the high priest, King Jesus, is the key to the whole order, and without him, there is no order. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with, I'll get that in a minute, with infirmity. No man takes this honor upon him unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he said unto him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The structure of this order is, first the Son is revealed, Jesus Christ the overcomer, the man child, the bride of Christ, heavenly Jerusalem, Mount Zion, the city of our God. And then the priesthood is anointed. No man can change this order, nor can he take this honor to him. So, but he must be called of God as Aaron was. It has been my experience that once you receive this call, and then when you're, many are called, but few are chosen, and then you are chosen by God for a specific assignment and commission, then it will be confirmed by presbytery. When they come in, they will confirm it. That's the reason why we can't go around announcing who we are without that confirmation of the presbytery.
Amen.
Psalm 110:4. Let me back up a little bit. You cannot volunteer your way into this. Yeah. And you can't do it by ambition.
Amen.
We're all to be servants of God, serve one another and all this. But ambition won't get you there.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit must birth the revelation of this order. The decree of the order is in Psalm 2:7. I will declare the decree. You are my son. This day have I begotten thee. This decree determines the day and the order of ministry. This day have I begotten thee. Psalm 110:4. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This is prophetic of the Son of God, the firstborn among many brethren. And I said among many brethren. The Son of God, the firstborn. That means there's going to be some more begottens. If there was one that was begotten, this day I have begotten you, you are a son after the order. Okay. So if the Lord is the firstborn among many brethren, there's going to be some more begottens. That'll be the man child company. Who will be the sons of God of that man child company? The Lord determines the priesthood. Both the decree and oath of God in this matter are irreversible. They have been staked out in eternity for a witness forever. When God gives us gifts, the Holy Spirit gives us the gifts of the Spirit. Jesus gives us the gifts of our offices to the body of Christ. And of course, God brings the operation of all of these gifts together. That's the work of the Trinity. When these are given, he doesn't take them away. If we fall and if we get into sin and if we fall away and we get into our own thing, he'll take us out. But he won't take the calling away. He won't take the commission away. And he won't take the gifts away. But he takes us out. They are without repentance. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. I said the gifts and callings of God are without repentance.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
May we yield ourselves into the hands of heaven's sculptor, that we may form the son, that he may form the son in us. And it's for sonship that the whole creation groans. Okay. If he called us, if he chose us, and if he gave us gifts, and he's sculpturing us into the image of his son, do you think that this is just for people to play church?
Yeah.
There's a big picture behind this, Joanne.
Yeah.
And it's not about our vanity. This mind of perfect knowledge has ordained that sonship be the hope of all creation. The unveiling of the Son of God just before Christ began his earthly ministry demonstrates a pattern that is the same in many other prophetic voices. First, there's a vision. Secondly, a voice. And third, comes the authority. Moses had his burning bush and rod. Joshua saw the captain of the host and the sword of the Lord. Isaiah saw the temple filled with the glory of the Lord and a vision of the Lord filling the temple. He also had a new commissioning. Jeremiah had three commissionings. So you may not just get one commission. God will keep commissioning you for whatever he wants to use you for. Once he's separated you out to ministry, once the Holy Spirit has given you gifts, once the Spirit of God has come upon you and you become a standing, you become a gift to the body of Christ. You become a tithe of the Lord. You become that gift. Then he also has the privilege to use you for whatever he wants to use you for. Mm-hmm. You don't need to volunteer for that either. I volunteered for lots of stuff that I didn't. And I like what I'm doing now. But because I'm in his will, I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just totally happy. Ezekiel saw the four living creatures and was commissioned as a spokesman to a rebellious house. Who wants to be a spokesman to a rebellious house? I read this guy, I think it's Doug Johnson. I don't have my clock up here, so I just keep preaching. I got a few minutes. I posted Roger's picture for the conference coming up, and he knew Roger back when. RCL does know him. Anyway, he said he was a young man who used to accompany Roger when Roger would go preach. And they went into this church, and the deacons of the church were doing some really bad stuff. He didn't say what the bad stuff was, but some bad stuff going on in the church. And Roger confronted all of it. And he said he kept Roger's bags packed. Had his exit strategy. And they were always ready to hit that back door. His name's Doug Johnson. But anyway, he said he went to Roger's prophetic school. And how much he loved him, and you know how God had really, how he had been so good to him and blessed him. But he says, I packed his bags in that church service. I saw it was coming, and we were going to have to make a fast exit.
Did they ever have to?
Yeah, they did. So I forget where he lives, not nearby, but anyway, I told him, I said, I wish you'd come to the conference. I'd love to hear that story told in front of Roger. So back to my point about Ezekiel. Saw the four living creatures and was commissioned as a spokesman to a rebellious house. I have received a prophecy from Henry, and it confirmed from the one that Mark gave me recently. That there's witchcraft. been called out against it. And I was worn out from that conference. And I knew it was witchcraft. I don't know where it's coming from. But anyway, just if that's you praying against this ministry, we took care of you this morning.
Amen.
We took the blood against you.
Yes, Lord.
Just saying. And I got a text from June. She said she's been invited to come into the White House. And she needs prayer. And she'll be there 2 days. I don't know what the full story this is. I'll have to find out. Paul experienced a light brighter than the noonday sun and a commissioning as a special chosen vessel. Got knocked off his horse. Sometimes God has to knock us off our horse to get us where he wants us.
Yeah.
Knock me off mine a few times.
Yes.
Amen. John knew the pattern as the revealing of the ever-coming one, the voice of many waters, and a new command to write what he had seen. Revelation 1:10-20. Each of these men, except Jesus, were overwhelmed by what they saw. Every visitation I've ever had of the Lord, it overwhelmed me. Each was introduced to an open heaven and overawed by its contents, and were called to declare what they had seen. We've been reading these books on heaven, and then wrapped around them down. If God opens up heaven for you, you're supposed to declare what you have seen. The effect of the vision was not to be puffed up with religious pride over the vision. The effect was brokenness, humility, and reverential fear. But then you got to watch later on that, well, God, you know, he's going to knock that pride off of you. Don't worry about it. The vision consumes any consciousness of self and its array of idols. One of the things I talked about during that conference was the being a bond slave to idols. Being a bond slave to idols. It magnifies the Lord of glory, our heavenly Melchizedek, who is the first and the last. It was the rending of their veil for each one of these. Hebrews 10:19-21. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. When the veil is removed, there remains one and the only one. And when the veil is shredded, the Lord of glory, our heavenly Melchizedek, fills the whole temple. He shines his light out of darkness. This is a little verse out of a song. I don't know the name of the song, and y'all may recognize it, but I don't know who wrote it. You bear the name of him who is unnameable, a name that transcends every name that is named. You are the dawning of a light that has no genesis. You are the one creation's waiting for. So who and what is a priest? I don't know that we got that many walking around. The Hebrew word is kohen, K-O-H-E-N, meaning to meditate in religious services, to officiate as a priest. Webster's Dictionary defines a priest as one consecrated to the service of a divinity and serving as a mediator between the divinity and his worshipers. Well, we have our priest. His name is Jesus Christ. We don't need any other mediator.
Amen.
The priestly ministry touches God and man. It represents God to man and man to God. And one of the things that I spoke out at the conference, that there are at least two kinds of priests. One who ministers to man and one who ministers to God. The beauty of the Melchizedek order is that it answers the demands of a battered and bruised creation. We have a battered and bruised creation out there. We do not have the power to deal with it because it's too vast. And this is a true priesthood ministering to the people.
Not once will you find the hypocrisies and villainies of the Levitical priesthood of the Old Testament in this group. They're pure in heart, never possessed of self-interest or self-promotion, not looking for the unrighteous mammon of the earth as a means of ministry, that if you give me enough money, then I can minister and fulfill my calling. Now, I must be about fulfilling my calling and start preaching, and then the Lord will provide the money for whatever it is He's called me to do.
Amen.
That's right.
Our motivation, not seeking ease. When I crash in my house, I'm ready, I'm telling you, I'm ready to crash and burn.
Mm-hmm.
They always look to find and identify the sincere, God-fearing remnant. Now, I'm going to say this on my behalf. When I came to Houston, Texas, I had had enough of that Pentecostal and Charismatic church. Mm-hmm. And all of their stuff. Mm-hmm. And my stuff. I mean, they were competing and over their gifts, and they were arguing over who was the greatest, and they were fighting over who was going to get the platform and who was going to get the most attention. And they were arguing if one person got blessed by God, the other person was jealousy. I was sick of it when I came to Houston.
Amen.
So I went to Little White Church. The door was hanging on. The shingles were flying all over the pasture. Some of the window panes were broken. And I said, Lord, that bunch is not going to come out here.
Amen.
Because they're looking to be fancy and be seen of man. And they want to be seen of people.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, Lord, if I go out here in this little obscure place, and someone told me that people would, Houston would not come out there because they like fancy.
Mm-hmm.
I was not looking for that crowd. I had had enough of that crowd.
Amen.
I wanted those God-fearing people who
Amen.
Were looking for God.
Yes, Lord.
And God sent them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord.
And God sent them.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept preaching, and we kept worshiping. And God sent them. Now we're in a fancy place.
Mm-hmm.
And they may accuse me of being fancy. Well, I didn't choose this place. Mm-hmm. I got sent here.
Amen.
Yes.
So just take it up with God. Don't worry about me.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I said. Just take it up with God. Hallelujah. I'm here somewhere. Henry, where am I?
You was in that second, written in the heart of this priestly company. This toward the end of
that paragraph. I read Hebrews 3:1-2.
You didn't get down there yet, but
I didn't get down. Okay, now I'm located. I need to mark this.
It's the beauty of the Melchizedek order is that paragraph you started.
Answers and demands. Down where it says written in the heart of this priestly company. Is the desire.
Well, I'm just going to start here.
Sounds good.
We can say we're just trying to make it. And we are. But through Christ, God made a way for a man to attain to God's high calling in Christ. We're not just trying to make it, church.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hear y'all say, I'm just trying to make it. No. Within the heart of this priestly company is the desire to bring unity and oneness between God and man. Christ Jesus, our heavenly Melchizedek, and He is that mediator who unifies God and man. Kim Jong-un and Donald J. Trump were out of control of that meeting. It is God
who unifies nations and men.
Amen.
Amen.
Love that.
I'm giving God all the glory for bringing that together.
Yes.
Amen.
The high calling is also a heavenly calling. Heavenly is an adjective that tells what kind of calling ours is. And these are great words. And this is reference. It's not to an invitation to go to some far off place somewhere, but to a present heavenly state of being. I mentioned at the conference that God has called us just to be. If you can just be, you're going to be happy. Because if you're just being, you're being in Christ. Mm-hmm. And in the being, you will have peace and happiness. The citizenship of this new creation, of the new creation man, is in heaven. And God has raised him up together with Christ Jesus and make him sit together in the heavenlies in Christ. Now, people, we're just living way below what we're supposed to be living. Yes. This heavenly calling is the priesthood of Christ. Again, the book of Hebrews is clear on this calling. It's heavenly, not earthly. Not celestial, it is celestial, not terrestrial.
Right.
Hebrews 3, 1 through 2. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who is faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house, the Father's house. What is our calling? Heavenly calling. Say it.
Heavenly calling.
We are partakers of the heavenly calling. The new priestly order about to be revealed from beyond the heavenly veil has a heavenly calling. We must be faithful. Anyone committed a stewardship, a chief responsibility who is given that must be faithful. We have got to be faithful to our calling. And you could say, well, I'm serving now as a deacon, and I am called to be a prophet to the nation, and I am called to preach to 10,000. Well, you will never preach to those 10,000 until you're faithful to the calling that he has you in right now.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank the Lord.
Are you better one at a time?
Amen.
We learn to serve humanity by learning to respond to God in his times of dealing with us. We were born out of the heavens. We are soaring eagles. And we're now bound for the heavenly realms. If you feel this pull to come up hither to the high calling, let us hold fast our profession. I'm telling you, these people that bail out on the first bad day, if you're going to bail out on God on your first bad day, you'll bail out on your marriage. You'll bail out on your kids. You'll bail out on life. Hold fast to our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. God will have a people capable of receiving the perfecting of their consciousness and the cleansing and renewing of their inner man. The grace of God will be the reason for this, not some earned legalism or not anything that we'll ever do. It'll be the grace of God that brings us there.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And the first to partake of this will be those who are the first fruits of the order of Melchizedek. Psalm 104:15. And wine that makes glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread that strengthens man's heart. Amen.
Amen.
We shall continue. There is